Welcome back to Blueprint for Wealth, and with me today is my special guest, Jeffrey McCandless, who's managing partner of Stone Harbor Partners. Welcome, Jeff.
Thanks, Wayne. Good to be here.
Great to have you. Welcome to the show. And Jeff has led a successful initial public offering and a follow-on offering way back in 1996 as the CFO of Mastech, a global information technology services firm. And when he was at Mastech, he achieved superior financial results. And I think he's taken some of that experience and expertise and translated it into a consulting business that they provide at Stone Harbor Partners. He's going to tell us a little bit more about that. He's also worked as a COO and CFO at a venture capital-backed startup and raised $70 million of venture capital. And he joined a public company to relocate from Northern California to Northern Virginia. Usually it's the other way around. I'm going to have to ask about that one. He's a father of four sons. He lives in Northwest D.C., graduated in 1980 from Westminster College in New Wilmington, PA, and is a certified public accountant, beginning his career at Pricewaterhouse in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I was at Pricewaterhouse for several years.
There's a lot of us alumni around.
Thousands and thousands. So obviously you're not from the D.C. area. You're
no.
From Pittsburgh. What brought you to Washington?
Actually, it's rather interesting. I made a complete circle around the country in about a five-year period, culminating in Washington. As you mentioned in my bio, I worked with a firm that was relocating their headquarters from Northern California to Northern Virginia, and that's how I ended up here.
Why did they, just out of curiosity, why did the company relocate from Northern California to Northern Virginia? Usually I hear it's the other way around.
Yes, and it's rather interesting because it's difficult to get people to move from Northern California to this area, believe
it
or not. I mean, it's a great quality of life out there, but the company actually had just changed CEOs, and the CEO was based from here and wanted to relocate the company here.
That's a good answer. So when did you start Stone Harbor Partners?
I started in 2005 as I left the company that relocated me here. I basically wanted to take my levels of experience that I had for 20, 25 years and leverage that into a consulting business to help others.
So it was sort of by accident that you got into this whole thing.
It was. I just started off and started doing one or two jobs here and there, and I really had approached it much like, well, I'll do this until something else comes along. And pretty soon I got more and more involved in it, and I got more and more referrals from people who had worked with me and had been happy with the results. And so I ended up being a full-time consultant now since 2005.
So tell me a little bit about the business. Who are the primary customers of Stone Harbor Partners?
Our customers are basically, we work with entrepreneurial firms, anywhere from as low as $1 million in revenue up to $100 million in revenue. We cover a lot of different vertical industries in our commercial practice. Being from this area, obviously, we do a lot of work with federal contractors.
Sure.
And there's just a plethora of small businesses that are out there that derive a lot of revenue from the federal government. We also work with software and IT services. We have some advertising and media clients.
Mm-hmm.
We do some work in healthcare, financial services, even some light manufacturing and marketing and distribution.
So tell me about some of the services that you actually provide to them. What do you do for them?
We basically do three primary legs to our stool, mm-hmm. and that is, the first one is we provide interim leadership services. And a lot of times this is for smaller and emerging companies who want the expertise of somebody who's been a COO or CFO or any of the, even the CEO, for example, but they don't have the wherewithal to pay for that full time. So they basically rent that expertise on an as-needed basis. And
rent a
pay
CFO.
For it. Yeah, kind of. Yeah, it's like it's a little bit like that. And so that's one leg of our business. And underneath of that, we basically do some outsourced finance and accounting, outsourced information technology services, and outsourced HR. And again, that's for companies that are emerging that really can't afford those services full time.
Okay.
The second thing we do is we help companies raise money. And that's where I've got levels of experience at a lot of different levels, including IPO, VC, private equity. And I've done probably about $200 million worth of bank debt deals in my career. The third thing we do is help companies, and this is really the part of the business that I get most excited about. It's helping companies plan for a successful exit strategy. And that's particularly important for small business owners who are typically entrepreneurs who they realize that their retirement is in the business. They're just not sure how to maximize that. and leverage that for successful exit. So that's what that's the third thing we do.
So you're really distinguishable from an investment banker, because the investment banker is brought in only for the M&A transaction, the merger and acquisition. You actually help get them ready, take them through the process. Will you actually help them through the M&A transaction as well? Will you act like an investment banker?
Yeah, we do. And what I like to do is I like to tell people that a successful exit isn't a transaction. It is a process. And because it's a process, it starts several years in advance, because typically an acquirer is going to want to look at 2 or 3 years worth of numbers and your business trends for sales and profitability and cash flow. So what we do is we like to get involved a couple years ahead of time and help prepare the company for that process of an exit. And we actually provide representation services for them as well. So we kind of combine the investment banking side with that practical business, operational, financial preparedness side.
Do you ever work with investment bankers in an exit of one of your clients?
We do. We can. And there's typical transactions that if the firm is probably about over $50 million, we probably want to bring in some other representation as well.
Sure.
But because we have the relationship and we've built a relationship with the entrepreneur and the management team, they like us there as kind of a sounding board.
Here's a tough question, because I represent a lot of entrepreneurs and I've taken them up through the exit process. And one of the questions that often comes up is, do you ever have difficulty getting the entrepreneur to let go of the controls and let somebody else take over to get them to that exit?
Yeah, I've told entrepreneurs that when they decide to sell their company, I always tell them, from the time you decide, let's wait a week and especially go over a weekend to think about it. Let's meet on Monday morning to make sure, because it's a rather emotional event. It's tantamount to raising a child and having them leave for college or be married or something like that.
Yeah, I agree with that. So that's a great answer to a tough question, because I experience that sometimes they just don't want to let the child go.
Yes. There's some cases where they're ready to let it go, and that's really a smart entrepreneur knows when it's time to sell the business. They know they've gotten the business as far as they can successfully, because there's certain hurdles in business when you get revenue size. It's generally the first million, then 10 million, then 50 million, then 100 million. And with that, each business has different challenges that it comes up against. So really smart and astute entrepreneurs know when to say, I've had enough.
Smart, but still, it's tough to let go of the controls. Anyway, so one of the things you do is you help them build value. How does a business really build value that can translate into wealth for the owner of the business?
Well, this is where I got off of the corporate train, and especially as a public company executive, as CFO. I've always found it different to take increases in earnings per share and deposit it in the bank. Businesses are all about cash flow, and we go through cycles, and the stock market gets excited about Facebook and things like that. But really, it's down to profitability and cash flow, and that's what an acquirer is really buying. Is they're buying that's the main thing they're buying. There's a lot of surrounding things, relationships with clients, and longevity with clients that are important, but what's really important is the cash flow in the business and the recurring nature of that cash flow and the revenues. And so to the extent you maximize your profitability, you're able to get a higher valuation upon exit rather than a lower valuation. And that's one of the things that we try to sell our clients on. There's an investment up front for a couple years to get you ready for that, but there could be a huge difference when it comes time for an exit.
A lot of times that really takes a significant amount of focus on the part of the entrepreneur, because they're always wanting to develop new ideas and do new things, don't they?
Right. Yeah, it's really interesting, because a lot of entrepreneurs have good ideas and they have kind of pet projects within their business. And so part of our challenge is to show them, here's really the parts of your business, whether it's a product or service business, that makes you money. And you really, even though you have a real affinity to this particular part of the business, you know, it doesn't really do a lot for you. So don't spend your time there. Spend your time where it's going to be maximizing the value.
So a lot of what I do is a lot of what you do in a different context. I'm a tax lawyer, and I do a lot of these merger and acquisition and estate planning to get these owners to a position so that they can sell their business. It gets me excited. Does it get you excited? Is this what drives you?
It does. It does, because I'm at a point in my life where very few things really kind of excite me in terms of career and seeing, you know, I learn a lot every day.
You're revealing a lot on air, Jeff.
Yeah,
this is,
I know.
This
I know.
Is a lot of information.
Yeah, you can see, Wayne, these gray hairs, they don't come from having things go easy in your life. But the entrepreneurs look for somebody like you or like me to provide a level head and kind of a guidance through the whole process.
We're talking with Jeff McCandless, and he is the managing partner of Stone Harbor Partners. And Jeff, you know, one of the things that we do is, you know, we try to help the entrepreneur focus on their business. How do you help them look at the business and really, you know, set their expectations realistically? Sometimes they may have pie in the sky expectations.
The analogy I always like to use is the hockey stick analogy, where an emerging company will have this tremendous growth path that, if you know what a hockey stick looks like, it starts low and then just goes off the charts, and that's well and good, and it's good to have aspirations and dreams, but the one thing you have to do is figure out how to transform those visions into realities. And the reality is, you have to understand the business, you have to understand the market you're in, you have to understand the competitors that you're up against, and you have to weigh all those factors together to come up with a realistic plan. I mean, even so much as people say, I want to grow my revenues by 30%, and I ask them, I said, well, how are you going to do that? And they look at me kind of strange. Well, I'm just going to sell more. Well, let's think about the process that you need to go through and back it all the way up to where they're spending marketing dollars. Through lead generation and sales qualifications, and how many salespeople do you have, and what are their quotas, and what's your sales close ratio. A lot of things that lead up to that increase in revenue.
So what I hear you saying is that a lot of the value at exit is built by building a sales process, a marketing process, to generate the ongoing recurring revenue that they need to be able to sell the business.
That's correct. And one of the things that we do very early on is determine the efficiency of whatever the level of marketing spend that they do, and translate that, show them what that return on investment really is, and work with them other strategies. They may be spending a disproportionate amount of their marketing dollars for product lines or service lines that aren't very profitable.
Do you prefer working with entrepreneurs over corporate management teams?
I've worked with both, and obviously, having worked in large companies, I've worked as part of a management team side by side, and as working for smaller companies, I've worked as part of an entrepreneurial team where I basically follow the entrepreneur around and catch the crumbs that fall out of his pocket, so to speak. But I enjoy working with entrepreneurs because they are really focused on successful business and doing what it takes, having the drive, the determination, and the wherewithal to get that done.
Mm-hmm. I like that too. They have dreams and visions, which kind of gets me excited when I'm dealing with them. So they get excited about it, so I get excited about it. So I really want to help them, you know, get to where they want to go.
And sometimes that's even a bigger challenge from your side, because there's some legal and tax implications to what people want to do. I mean, I can come up with strategies and ways to organize things, but unless it passes the muster on your side of the fence, it's all for naught.
Well, the key for doing what we do is not to say no all the time. It's to say, okay, this is what you want to do, so let me come up with a way that you can do it.
My favorite line is, you could do that. And you could do that has a lot of meanings. Meanings number
it's
one,
how
like
you say it.
Yeah, it's how you say it, and it's there's a solution to every problem. It's just that some solutions require a lot more legwork than others.
Well, we've got about a minute and a half left. What advice would you give to the listeners who are interested in starting a new business and getting us to a successful exit?
Well, so there's a couple things. First of all, what you really want to do is you want to make sure that you know the markets you're getting into.
Okay.
And understand the product and service offerings through and through. Know what your discriminating key financial and operational drivers are going to be in the industry, and identify from that your value proposition.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've done that, then we recommend that you research the competition, know who your competitors are, know what they do well, what they don't do well, and then base your business plan on the on those metrics around the industry. Don't forecast that there's going to be a tremendous market shift or a growth in the market if it's a stable market, and articulate that in your business plan.
Okay.
Then the third thing, and the most important thing, is figure out the amount of money and then multiply it by 150%. because things always come up. You always need more money than less money.
Couldn't agree with you more. Thanks. Jeff McCandless, Managing Partner. How do they get in touch with you at Stone Harbor Partners?
They can get in touch with us. The best way is by visiting our website, which is www.StoneHarbourPartners.com.
Thanks for being a special guest on Blueprint for Wealth.
Thanks, Wayne. I enjoyed it.
And thanks for listening to Blueprint for Wealth. Join us next week for another special topic and special guest. Have a great week.